Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be together on this Easter morning celebrating the resurrection, the risenness of Jesus. And so whether you are here each week or this is your first time, we are grateful for your presence. Let me invite you to take just a moment and turn to your neighbor and say, it is good to celebrate God's love with you. Not only today, but every day, good to celebrate God's love. So in that spirit of love, let me go ahead and dismiss some of the youngest among us. You are dismissed, released, free. Free to go, I said among us. How many of you are familiar with Among Us? The computer game, right? I just know my grandson talks about it and draws pictures, and my daughter's looking at me like... All right, let me invite us this morning in here to turn to John, the Gospel of John in chapter 21. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, 769, the words will be on this lovely screen behind me. Yes, the projector this week had a sort of resurrection of its own, and so grateful for that. John 21, by way of recap, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem, riding, it says, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. And remember, there were palm branches, there are hosannas to the king, and he enters into Jerusalem where there is the eating of a meal, there is the washing of feet, there is the praying in the garden. Disciples were sleeping, but Jesus is in the garden praying. And with that, both sorrowful and troubled, knowing that he is betrayed, he is arrested, there is a trial, and there is a crown of thorns, right? From the cross to the grave, right? This tomb sealed in silence. And yet here we are Easter morning, and just as Jesus told us, right, the tomb is empty and he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so we come today to John chapter 21. Now, this is not your typical, it's not your traditional nor your typical Easter morning story. And yet, it is deeply grounded, it is deeply rooted in the resurrection, showing us what it means to live, what it means to live the resurrection, not just remember it. What it means to live the resurrection, not just remember it. What it looks like right here and right now, today. And so with that, John chapter 21, we're going to pick it up in verse 15 and read through 17, and then I'll pray, and then we'll come back and get after it. So John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Verse 17, the third time he, Jesus, said to him, "Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He, Peter, said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Let's pause and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our risen Lord Jesus, as we now center into your life, your teachings, your resurrection, as we center on your words this morning, open our ears that we may hear. Open our hearts that we may respond. Open our lives that we may love. May your resurrection be not just something we remember, but something we live out right here, right now. Amen. All right, to kind of set the scene here, I want us to imagine. Imagine for a moment that you are Peter. You are one of Jesus' closest disciples. You have given your life. You've given everything to follow him. And in this moment, all that has changed. Jesus has just been arrested. And it is now fear that takes hold of you. You deny him not once, but three times. The rooster crows, your heart sinks, and you think to yourself, how could I? The very next day, Jesus is crucified and buried, and all those moments, all those years together, are now buried with him. But then you hear the news. You hear the news that the tomb is empty, and so you start to run, and you run fast. You're not as fast as John, but you run fast to see for yourself. And now your fear becomes mixed with wonder, and your wonder becomes mixed with confusion. And even though the resurrected Jesus now comes to you, not once, but twice, still you remain uncertain. Uncertainty remains, and so not sure what to do, you head home to Galilee, to that old familiar place. You go out on a fishing boat, kind of that old familiar life. And it's here again now that Jesus comes to you, the resurrected Christ comes to you. He comes again. And it's what he shares in that encounter. In these final moments before he ascends to the heavens. It's what he shares, giving you the most vivid description of the resurrection life. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Again, he says to Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" And even though Peter is hurt, right, he says, "You know that I love you." Right, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So three times here, Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now let's be clear. This is not insecure Jesus. Right? This is not Jesus in need of reassurance. Like I would, right? "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Right? This is not Jesus with an inferiority complex. This is not Jesus seeking some sort of self-esteem kind of boost. And what we need to get is this, because Jesus could have said anything. He could have asked anything. And for that reason, it is precisely for that reason that what he did say truly matters. "Do you love me more than these?" Right? "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Right? Three simple questions, one clear path, right? This is not a theological exam. This is an invitation. Keeping in mind, he did not ask Peter, "Peter, how about you describe to me progressive sanctification? Peter, how about you share your views? Would you share your views with me on tribulation theology? Peter, how about expounding on the doctrine of atonement," right? Not at all, right? None of those questions, right? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Right? This is, friends, this is the heartbeat of resurrection. And it is simply and profoundly love. Right? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a theological system of belief. It's not a technique for behavior modification. And again, remember, this is the resurrected Jesus. This is his last recorded message. These are some of his very final words. And he could have said anything. He could have asked anything. And it's precisely for that reason that what he did say, what he did ask, truly matters. Right? Because he could have said, Simon, son of John, have you made a profession of faith? Simon, son of John, have you prayed the sinner's prayer? Simon, son of John, have you memorized the whole of the Torah? Right? Simon, son of John, have you got it all figured out? Right? Do you believe the right things? Have you checked all the right boxes? Right? Simon, son of John, right? And fill in the blank. But interesting, those words, those questions were not on Jesus' lips, nor were they in his heart, right? Simon, son of John, Jesus said, do you love me? Right? This was personal. This was intimate. And it is the heartbeat of resurrection. And it is simply and it is profoundly love. In his book, Experiencing God, author and pastor Henry Blackaby, he writes, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. He is the one who takes the initiative to bring you into this kind of relationship. This relationship is why you were created. It is the purpose of your life. To love is the highest relationship, the highest achievement, the highest position in life. Noting it has been that way from the very beginning. Love is absolutely central to the Shema, the daily prayer that has really shaped the life of ancient Israel. Considered to be the greatest commandment by the ancient Jewish people and the earliest followers of Jesus, we read in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it begins, Shema Yisrael, right? Hear, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, right? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. In essence, he says, love God with all of the you that is you. Love God with all that you've got. These commands, these mitzvot, that I give you today, he says, are to be on your hearts. When asked which of the commandments, the mitzvot, was the greatest in the whole of the Torah, and Jesus responded, Matthew 22 and 37, he says, we read, love the Lord your God. He quotes the Shema. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, he says, this is the first and greatest mitzvah. And now here, John 21, the resurrected Jesus. Again, speaking what is his final sort of last message, some of his very last words. And again, he could have said anything. He could have asked anything. And it's precisely for that reason that what he did say truly matters. And he says, do you love me more than these? And I would suggest to you this morning that that's not only a question for Peter, but that's a question for each one of us. Right? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? That can be translated, do you love me above all else? Right, we could ask it this way and say, is the priority of my life to love God? Is the priority of your life to love to love God above all else, right? Is loving God, we could ask it this way, is loving God the thing in my life that shapes everything else, right? Is loving God the thing in my life that shapes everything else? Now, I don't know exactly where you land in those sorts of questions, but maybe then we could also consider what in my life needs to be reoriented. Right? What in my life maybe needs to be reoriented so that I may love God truly with all of the me that is me, that I may love Him with all I've got. This is the heartbeat of the resurrection. And it is simply and it is profoundly love. Noting that with every movement of love, there is an expression of care and compassion for others. Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Right? The heartbeat of resurrection is a love expressed in a care and a compassion for others, for one another, for the other. Peter himself shares this view. 1 Peter 4:7. Keeping in mind, this is a number of years now removed from this encounter with the resurrected Jesus. It could even be several decades since that sort of what we would call a beachside breakfast with Jesus. He writes this, he says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And then above all, love each other. Love deeply," right? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And then here is what that love looks like. He goes on, this is what it looks like in action, and he says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Now, when I read that, I thought, can you imagine? I mean, what if we just did that? End of sermon. "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, not for yourself, but to what? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Right? Peter, he gets it. Right? Do you love me? Right? Every moment, every movement of love, right? Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. It's an expression of care and compassion for others, for one another. Let's flip over to 1 John chapter 4, dropping down to verse 20, noting John was also there at that beachside breakfast. And he writes, "Whoever claims to love God," right? "Do you love me? Yet hates a brother or sister is a liar, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command," this mitzvah, "anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Right? So Peter got it. John got it. Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus here is speaking. He says, "Then the king," interesting in light of last week, "then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For, right, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Peter got it. John got it. Jesus, he taught it. "Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." This is the heartbeat of resurrection. And it is simply and it is profoundly love. A love that is poured out to one another, care and compassion for others. And so I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they do, I just want us to continue, you know, as we think about, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me? Maybe we can also then consider, right, does our love for God, does our love for God find expression in caring for others? Right, does our love for God find expression in caring for others? Does my loving God overflow in tangible acts of compassion? Does my love for God, does it overflow in tangible acts of compassion? And then with that, and I invite you to stand. Maybe to consider how is God, as we go into the rest of today, as we go into the week, how is God inviting me to express my love for him and others more deeply? And then what would it look like? How will I respond then to his invitation? Today, this week, this month, this season, this year, in that relationship, in that circumstance. This is the heartbeat of resurrection. May it be also the heartbeat of your life and mine.